the final step, step number seven. Use the seventh power. You go, step seven, seventh power? Is this designed to confuse me? Yes, it's designed to sound mysterious because we're coming to the end of the workshop, and you have to add a little zest in here because, you know, while we've got an action plan here, it's pretty basic. So you have to make it sound really special, the seventh power. But my seventh power is this. I was doing a speech recently, not that long ago, for the Marines. And the general asked me to come in and speak, and he wanted me to talk to the Marines on raising their standards. The Marines raising their standards. This is an interesting process, right? And he's a great guy, and he's a big fan of mine. And he said, you know, what can we do for you? And he said, because, you know, we don't usually have the kind of budget to pay for a person like you. And I said, listen, I'll come in for free. I do government work always for free. And I said, so if it's just a talk, I'll be happy to serve. And he said, well, I got to do something for you. He said, you know what? How about I make arrangements for you to play with all our toys? You know, like shoot some M16s and drive some tanks and fly some Apache helicopters. And I'm like, yes. Now, all the girls listening are going, what are you talking about? But guys understand this. So it was very cool. So I'm very excited. I'm going to go do we use all these things. And I'm excited about my talk. And he wanted everyone to hear me. And there was a group of 300 men that were out on the survival course that's supposed to be 6 days. And they had been 3 days without food. And they're out literally in the middle of this area. And he decided they didn't want to miss the talk. So you want to bring them back for my talk. So I'm standing out there, and I don't know, a couple thousand Marines everywhere I can see, and they're standing there, these 300 guys, in full gear, battle gear, in the hot sun at 12 noon with about 98 degrees, and they've got their black war paint on, and they're holding their M16s in their hands, and I'm thinking, I better do a good job here, you know? And so I thought, oh, my God, I got to make sure my standard's high. So I did my talk with these guys, with them for about 3 hours, it was supposed to be an hour and a half, and they went for it, and I went for it. We just went till we got the result, because it wasn't about the action plan. It was about doing whatever it took to get them where they needed to be. And at the end, I mean, you got chills as these people were doing this incantation that we do called I Am the Voice. It was amazing. Some of you have been to my seminars, you know what I'm talking about. But all these Marines doing this, and the general afterwards, he was driving me in his car, and we're going to go see this Apache helicopter, and I'm juiced, and he's juiced. And he said, you know, Tony, he said, I've never seen anything like that. That is extraordinary. And I said, well, thank you so much, sir. And he said, you know, I got to ask you a question, though. He said, you got them to raise their standards today immensely. And he said, not all of them will keep those standards. But he said, I know some of those men, they were moved today. But I got to tell you, even without you, we get them to raise their standards. He said, in fact, you know, most of these people, most of these men and women have the highest standard today as a Marine that they'll ever have in their life. And he said, sad, because when they leave this environment, he said, their standards will drop for a lot of them, for the majority of them, Tony. And he said, why do you think that is? Is it because people don't care? Is it because people are basically lazy? Is it because people have to be supervised like children? I mean, why is it that people lower their standards like that? And I said, sir, it's not that people are lazy. It's not that they don't care. It's that most people's lives are a direct reflection of the expectations of their peer group. And he looked at me and said, wow, that's heavy. And I thought, yeah, that's good. I should write that down. Right? And I said, let me say that again, sir, so I could remember it, of course. I said, most people's lives are a direct reflection of the expectations of their peer group. Everybody in life has standards for themselves, but we all have certain needs. And one of those needs we talked about earlier is the need for love and connection. One of those needs is the need to feel like we're significant or important to the people around us. And the people that have the power to make us feel loved or unloved, the people we give that power to are the people we call our peers. Now, for some people, the peers are their family. For some people, the peers are their friends at home. For some people, they have their peers at work. But anybody who you care how they feel about you has the power to influence the way you think to some extent. Now, some people are completely influenced by their peers, and some people tend to lead their peers. But everyone is influenced to some extent. And the reason is because we all want this love and connection. So when I say that most people's lives are a direct reflection of the expectations of their peer group, here's what that means. If you have a peer group of people, people who you care how they feel about you, and they have a lower expectation for what they want for their body, for example. Let's say they, you know, they're comfortable with being overweight. Then if you have a higher standard, it's going to bother you to see that they're overweight. But because they're your friends, you don't want to make them wrong all the time, and that would feel terrible. You love them. Plus, they don't want to feel like they're not significant either. So they're not going to try and pull you down because they don't love you. They're going to go, hey, it's just one piece of chocolate. Come on, it's just one more bite. Come on. Oh, stop being so rigid. And all they're doing is trying to make sure they don't lose you. Because everybody senses that if you have a higher standard, that they're not as important. If you have a higher standard, they feel less significant. If you have a higher standard, you might not feel as connected. So people become vested very often in bringing you to a lower standard of where they are. Now, the opposite happens. If you join a group of people that have a higher standard than you have for your life, just to stay in that peer group, you have to raise your standards, don't you? To be a Marine, you got to raise your standards. To be in the airborne, you got to raise your standards, right? If you're going to play that same example I gave you, tennis, and you're playing against people much better than you are, you're going to get better because you have to, just to stay in rapport, just to stay in the game, just for them to want to visit with you. Because otherwise they're going to get bored. And that's true of emotions, that's true of spirit, that's true of economic success, that's true of how much negativity you're willing to put out or not. Whoever you're around, here's the simple thought. Whoever you spend time with is who you become. If you lie down with dogs, you come up with fleas. It's an old phrase, it's another one of those cliches, but it is so true. Because who you spend time with is who you become, because eventually, if you got higher standards, one of two things are going to happen. Either you're going to get them to raise their standards and you're going to lead them to a new level, or you're going to get frustrated, burnt out, tired, or going to comply with their standards sooner or later out of your need for love. So in life, here's what you got to do. A lot of people say, yeah, but my peer group's my family. Oh, no, no, no. Here's what you got to do. Love your family, pick your peer group, right? Because a lot of family members are not the right people to be influencing how you feel, because a lot of them have their own stuff. So you got to pick your peer group and love your family, because you got to love your family whether they're nice or not. That's just about being a human being, right? So when I say to tap into the seventh power, it's the power of environment. It's the power of picking a peer group that has a higher standard. So if you want to make sure this plan you follow through on really occurs, you got to get somebody else who's already living that way. If you pick a buddy who's also struggling to work out, the two of you will find yourself at Starbucks instead of at the stairs. You can't let that happen. Find somebody who's already succeeding. That's why hiring a coach is so valuable, because you know they can't cop out. That's their job, and you know they live it every day. But if you get somebody who's equally struggling as you are just because they give you good company, I can promise you the two of you are unlikely to hit the ultimate level you're after. You got to get around people with a higher standard. Now, if you get that person and you take your friend with you, and the two of you have someone who's a higher standard, and you both care how they feel, or you've hired them so you have to follow through, then you got a different game, don't you? Then things are going to actually occur. That's why I so believe in coaching. I mean, my favorite thing is to make sure that when somebody has an immersion program like this, there's someone to walk you through making sure you take action. So I really encourage you to call our company and get yourself a coach. Start out for 90 days. At the end of 90 days, if you're not thrilled, you can end it. But you won't. You'll find these coaches will make a difference in your life long term. Because what coaches are people that have a higher standard and they have an entire focus to make sure you follow through, and you can't manipulate them. Because while they care about you, they care enough to not let you lie to yourself, not distort things. And they'll help you get disturbed if you're not. And they'll do it in a way that's elegant and respectful. They'll help you make these decisions. They basically will get you to do these seven steps on a regular basis instead of you hoping that it works out. So that's why coaching is so valuable. But you got to create an environment where you are reinforced for doing what it is you're really committed to. You've got to make that happen if you're going to succeed. And by the way, pick an environment that also reinforces you, like we talked about earlier, for the small wins. You got to have somebody that not only will challenge you, but you got to make sure you get rewarded. So if they don't do it for yourself. Like if you're going to learn to play the game of golf, for example, it can be a bit overwhelming unless you focus when you go out and play not on all the shots you missed, but on the ones you made. If you go out and say, okay, I scored 138 today, and these guys, they hit a 62. This is a bit depressing. It seems overwhelming. So what you got to do is instead, you got to keep track on every hole. You did two great putts. You had a great drive. You know, you write down those, and you forget the stuff that doesn't matter, because if you keep focusing on the failure, you never get the success. Remember, you could only build on success. And if you got a great peer group, they're going to challenge you, but they also should be able to reinforce you for your progress, not somebody who is so in need of significance themselves that they can't acknowledge you as well. It's an important point to remember. And also remember this, you're going to get off track. You're going to screw up. The secret is not do you fall down. The secret is do you sit there on the ground and cry and complain and talk about how you always do this and you sabotage yourself and tell a story, or do you get your butt back up immediately and start running? And the other thing is, don't make this more complex than it needs to be. I was talking to this woman the other day, and she was majorly overweight, and she was saying, yes, well, I'm going to put my plan together. When I get back home, I'm going to go do research on the very best trainer possible and, you know, make sure that they have all the best distinctions and tools. And, you know, within 2 weeks, I'll get started. I said, ma'am, with all due respect, you're so overweight, you don't need a sculpting genius. You need a big guy behind you to yell, run! Right? That's what you need. You don't need some massive, detailed plan. You need some momentum here. Don't be telling yourself this big story. Just go do it, Because that's what this is all about. In the end, it's about doing it. It's about living it. It's about experiencing it. It's about not settling. Figure out who you're going to do that with, though. Who are you going to do it with, or who are you going to share the victory with, or who are you going to tell your commitment to? Make sure you decide that right now. Who will you share this experience with? Who will you commit to? Who will hold you to that standard for real and not let you off the hook? Who will be leading you by example and you will not want to lose face with, so you will follow through even when it's uncomfortable and it's uneasy, and therefore you'll achieve the experience called the real you? Where you'll have the experience of remembering who you really are and having your life reflect it. Where your life reflects a person who lives at the edge. And I don't mean the edge of challenge. I mean the edge that reflects someone who is sharp. Someone who can make anything they think about happen in their life. Someone who knows that it's all about enjoying your life and producing the results. It's not about talking about the story about why it didn't happen, it can't happen now, and all the reasons. Give up the story, go for the results. Take this RPM plan you've created and turn it into reality and start to experience the pride that comes when you're one of those people that doesn't have to explain why they aren't achieving, but he gets to share the joy of what you've accomplished, and you can share with other people how you did it because you're conscious in your process. See, that's a life that's fun. That's a life at the edge. That's a life that's extraordinary. So I hope this results workshop has moved you forward. And if you didn't do some of the steps, go back and do them. The way you get results is doing things, not just listening to things. And if you got to listen to this 10 times to get yourself to do it, do it. But get yourself to take the action. And once you do this, now we can start with this as the foundation. Anything else we teach, you can follow through. You know why? Now you've got a system every day to look at this, a system to feel the gratitude and fill back up with the emotions that will move you forward, a system to put your body in a peak state so you feel that sense of will, a system that every morning will start your life where you feel successful because you know you've already achieved first thing in the morning, a system that will get you connected and loving yourself. A system will get you focused on what you want and why you want it and the actions to make it work. And all that happens within an hour. And now you got a system here that if you're not following through, you can go through these 7 steps, you can listen to this tape, you can kick yourself in the butt, tell yourself the truth, get the plan, make it happen, and make it fun. Now, today, I want you to go do those 2 things you wrote down you're going to do. Do them right away and really acknowledge yourself. It's my privilege to be your coach. I thank you for taking this journey with me, and I look forward to being with you tomorrow. God bless you, and live with passion.